So, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Pamela Hill-Med, so you can just call me Pam. It's fine. I am president of California Library Users of America, CALUA, and then we are not the drink. I have served as CALUA's president for a few years, and I truly enjoy it. It's so much fun. As most of you know, I am a book hound, so I love books. And but I also love that we as blind people have the ability to read them on different formats, whether it's Audible, whether it's Braille, whether it's Bookshare, whether it's Bard, whether it's on the Victor Streams, whether it's on the New Orbit, whenever it's Beater, when it's coming out, or even the new NLS player. We are here to advocate and to read books and find different devices that work for us. So that's one of the reasons why I truly adore CALUA. So first off, we're going to do elections first off because our presenter is here. She is here. So she's going to hear us do elections, and then we're going to I may do introductions real quick so I know who's on the call. Or Phil, can you do a roll call real quick just so I can see on who's on the call?
Sure. I'll just run down the list.
Okay.
This is Phil Obregon, CALUA treasurer. And I'm also hosting this meeting. Okay. Our guest speaker, Christine Kersey. Lynette is on, and she is she's our vice president. Pamela Metz, and she is our president. She just introduced herself. We have a phone number, 1951, ending with 342. I believe that's Nancy Unger.
I think so.
We have Jolena Foster. Patty is on. That's Patty Nash. We have a phone number, 1559. Phone number ending in 033. Okay.
Jan Carmichael.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Thank you, Jan. And I recognize this next phone number is Catherine Johnson.
I'm here.
Okay. Cindy Gilliams.
Oh, okay. Cindy's here. Okay. I know her.
We have someone here named Darren.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. We know Darren.
We know Darren.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
David Jackson is here. Here we have someone that's in it as Edward's iPhone. Edward's iPad.
That's Ed
Jamie
Crispin.
Gibson.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Crispin.
The next person is Leslie Tom. The next one is Lori. Nellie Emerson is present. Nick Guttinger is here. Hi, Nick. Good to see you again.
There.
Hi, Nick.
All right. Hello. And that is all that I came across.
Did you get Nicolette? Nicolette came in and...
Okay, no, I didn't get Nicolette. Okay.
She came in and I think...
And Emily Sheets came in.
One more person came in. Emily Sheets.
Yeah. Okay.
We have a good crowd. Yay.
So first
off, we're going to hold elections real quick. And it's president, secretary, and both board seats. And so since I am the president, I can't run my own election. So we're going to let Lynette do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see.
Vice president.
Let's see how I flub it up. Yeah. So Pamela Metz is running for president. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And once again, are there any other nominations?
This is Phil, and I move that we elect Pam Metz as our president by acclamation.
So what do we do?
All those in favor.
Oh, that's what I thought. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you. I will try my darndest again. Yeah, I love this one. This affiliate. It's one of my favorites. Okay, so let's do secretary. Unfortunately, is it secretary? Yes, secretary. Unfortunately, Lisa is not here. She had a family, death in the family. So we will go ahead and do her position. So Lisa Cushman was on the slate. I sent the slate out last night for secretary. All those in favor? Excuse me. I'm telling Lynette how to do it and doing it wrong myself. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations?
1925 **7 788 has left the meeting.
Are there any other nominations?
Madam President, I move that nominations be closed and that we elect Lisa as secretary by acclamation.
Please, each on demand.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's do the two board seats. We have, from the slate, we have Patty Nash. Are there any for, she is for, this is Director 1, right, Phil?
That's correct.
Director 1, this is Patty Nash. And are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Excuse me. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none? Somebody.
This is Phil. I move that we close nominations and elect Patty as Director 1 by acclamation.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Ooh. All opposed? Hearing none? Patty. You are Director 1.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. So, let's do one more. From the slate, we have Nellie Emerson. Nellie, you're here, right?
I am here.
Okay. We have Nellie Emerson. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Hearing none. Somebody move.
This is Phil. I move that.
Go ahead. I heard okay. Phil and somebody else.
No, Phil, you can do it.
Okay. I move that we nominate Nellie by acclamation.
Hearing, okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Nellie, you are Director 2.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, right, Pam, before we go on, a few people have joined. Debbie Oberg, Christy, Debbie, and there's another person. I can't remember his name now. Oh, well.
I heard Chrissy, I heard Debbie, but I did not hear I heard a name come in, but I didn't hear it. So it is now, we are running right on time. Hey, Google, what is the time?
3:09 p.m.
I keep myself on time. So we have an awesome speaker today, you guys. Before we get started, is there any other business before we get to the speaker?
Pam, this is Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the record, for the minutes, please note that Nellie's position is partial. She's
filling she's going to finish out David's seat,
finish out David's term, correct?
Yes, yes.
So for the record,
okay,
this
so
is
Nelly,
a partial term.
This is a partial term. You're going to fill out David's position and then run again next year. Is that okay? I know. I think she's
yes. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So we have a full crowd. I'm going to let. So, is there any other business? We got that on the record. Any other business before I turn this over to Lynette to introduce her sister-in-law? Because this is her sister-in-law. So, okay, Miss Lynette, go ahead and introduce her.
All right. Well. Let's see. What can I say? No, she's a fantastic writer. She has different. She writes in different genres. Can't talk today. Dystopian fiction, romantic fiction, romantic suspense, and contemporary romance. So some of her series are Parallel World, EMP Collapse, and Pandemic, and that's just a couple. So, Christine. Take it away and tell us all about your books and
okay.
whatever else you'd like to share.
Well, thank you so much.
And before, I'm sorry, Christine, before you start, you have until the meeting ends at 4:15, right, Phil?
Correct.
What time do we want to do for questions?
So. I want to give, I'm thinking the last 20 minutes, half hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, okay.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. And I have to tell you how much I love the library because you guys are all part of the library. When I, at the tender age of 16, when I got my driver's license, the first place I went by myself was the library because I just love it. It's fun to read and stories and all that. And, so for me, when we got our first computer in 1997, almost 30 years ago. And that's when I started writing my first book because It was a lot faster to type than to write it on pen and paper. And so that's when I started. And, that was a suspense story called Suspicions. And then I wrote another one called No Way Out, which is a standalone suspense. Like Lynette said, I write in several genres and No Way Out was published with a small regional publisher in 2005. And then, I didn't publish anything else with them. And then in 2010, I can't believe it's been that long, I started publishing my books on Amazon as an independent or indie author. And I'd love to talk more about publishing if people are interested, but we'll see if what kind of interest we have with that. But so I've been indie publishing for almost 15 years, and I just finished writing my 51st book. And this lately I've been focusing on the post-apocalyptic genre. And in fact, the pandemic series that Lynette mentioned, I published that in 2019 before COVID. So it was pretty interesting when an actual pandemic occurred like months after I published that series. But the reason that I published that series, and that can kind of answer a question a lot of people often have, which is how to get your ideas, is I love the post-apocalyptic genre. And I thought, well, what's something that could actually happen? And because zombies are interesting, but, you know, that doesn't seem as likely to happen as some other things. And I thought, well, I know pandemics happen about every 100 years, and we were overdue. So I thought, I'll write about a pandemic. And lo and behold, my pandemic was a lot worse than COVID because on that one, it was like a 95% mortality rate because, you know, in the apocalypse, you need to be very apocalyptic. So that one came out in 2019, and there were four books in that series. But the really great thing is with technology now, you know, there's so many places that you can listen to audiobooks. And so I'm sure you know obviously about many, but one I didn't hear you mention, a couple, are YouTube. A lot of authors now have their audiobooks on YouTube channels that are available for free. So that's a really good resource for people. And also Spotify. If anyone has a Spotify account, if you have a Spotify premium account, you get either 15 or 20 hours a month of audiobook listening for free. So that's something to be aware of if you didn't know. Let's see. I wrote down some other ideas of things to discuss. Another place that I got an idea for a book was I thought, well, what would happen if a woman came home from work, or came a woman came home, she's pregnant, her husband's missing, and as she's doing things around the house, she discovers under the mattress a whole bunch of money hidden under there. And that was the idea behind No Way Out that I wrote in 1997. So sometimes, you know, you just come up with these crazy ideas that can turn into a story. And I also write, so I write suspense, post-apocalyptic, dystopian, and clean romance and romantic suspense. Suspense is like my main thing, but that can be in any kind of genre, can also have suspense as a part of it. Let's see. So one thing I wanted to mention, because a lot of times people want to know how long it can take to write a book. And it's interesting because some writers are just so prolific. I have a friend and she writes 5,000 words a day. So she writes about a book a month, which is just wild to me. That's a lot. To me, it takes 3 or 4 months, which is still pretty fast compared to traditional publishing where the big name authors maybe put a book out once a year. But nowadays, with Amazon, for their algorithm to like what you're writing or to promote your books with their algorithm, you need to put books out really frequently. So 3 to 4 months is about as fast as I can do it. So that's, you know, that's not an uncommon length of time, but some people are just very prolific and write way more than that. And also, one thing that's kind of different about the way I write is I'm what's called a discovery writer or a pantser. So I don't plot, because if I already know what's going to happen, where's the fun in that? In writing the story, if I already know what's going to happen. So I don't plot. In fact, my parallel world series, the dystopian series that Lynette mentioned, it's about a parallel world where it's illegal to be overweight, which is a horrible idea. The thing that sparked that idea for me was, because I wrote that in like 2013, so about 12 years ago. I think it was in New York. They were talking about passing laws where they would outlaw certain sizes of soda because of, you know, they're not very healthy or whatever. And I thought, well, what if like it was illegal to be overweight? And I thought, well, let's make it a parallel world. And so the heroine, she's a teenager. She ends up in this parallel world and she doesn't even realize that that's where she is. And when I wrote it, I thought it'll be, you know, one book will probably be it. Well, it's 5 books long and it's my longest books. So who knew it would end up being that long? But it's one of my favorite series that I wrote. So I don't really have, I mean, I'd really like to hear what your questions are and answer questions. I think that would be better because then I can see kind of what you're interested in. So I'd be happy to answer any questions about publishing, about writing, that type of thing.
Okay, we have a hand raised by Christy Crespin.
Hi, I'd like to know how you do your research, because I think about it would be cool to write a book, but then there's so much research that's involved that I shy away from doing anything like that. Thank you.
That's a great question. And you know, that's what's so great with the internet now. There's the information's out there, but there are some things, like in my post-apocalyptic books, I don't get into depth about the guns the people use, for example, because I'm not a gun expert. And there's people who read it who are a gun expert or whatever expertise somebody has. If you get something wrong in your research, then people are, if they know there's one thing wrong in your story, then they're going to disbelieve more, you know, everything. They'll be like, well, I know that's wrong. So what else did they get wrong? So as far as research, just the internet, talking to people. In fact, with my, what book was it? I think it was No Way Out, the one I published with a traditional publisher. They actually wanted me to talk to the FBI to ask a question, which I am an introvert. Like, that was scary. So I just, like, did it. I lived in California at the time. And so I reached out to the local FBI office and asked them my questions. Well, I said, you know, I'm a writer, da da da. And he was happy to answer my questions. He even read the book for me and gave me feedback. Because people who whatever their area of expertise is, they're usually very passionate about it. And so they're happy to share what they know because it's something that they love. But for me, it's hard to get the courage up to ask somebody. So thankfully, there's YouTube, and there's lots of, you know, you could Google things. There's AI, but with AI, they say you need to double check the answers because sometimes AI can hallucinate and give incorrect facts. So it wouldn't be facts, incorrect information. So you need to do your own research on top of that. But yeah, Google is a good resource for that, and YouTube. In fact, with YouTube, I've used that to demonstrate how, I can't even think of an example off the top of my head, especially the post-apocalyptic, like how, you know, what is a good self-defense move? Like show me kind of how you do it or whatever to kind of visually understand or to mentally picture what the move is, or just to see how something is done, or just to have something explained to me of how something is done. So yeah, the internet is the best way. Well, not the best way. The best way is probably talking to experts, but the simplest way that you can do from home is with the internet. That was a long-winded way to respond.
Okay, our next hand is Joshua Saunders.
Now, this is Josh. My question was about Amazon Publishing. You said you're involved in that.
Yes.
And I'm just kind of wondering how you got started in that and how that process works and what percent they take.
Okay, great question. Yeah, so the great thing is with Amazon, you can upload your document for free, and you can upload a Word document, but nowadays there's other things you can use. There's other software. Like there's one I use called Vellum, V-E-L-L-U-M. It's an Apple only, it's a product only can be used on Macs, but it can format your books, but a Word document would work as well. I believe it's been a long time since I've done a Word document, but you upload your file and your cover image, and you put in the description of the book, and it's ready to go. I mean, it's free, and it's very simple to get it uploaded. The hard part is the marketing and getting it in front of people. As far as the cut that they take, if your book is priced between $2.99 and $9.99, you keep 70% minus whatever delivery fees they are, and the delivery fees are based on the size of the file. So it's typically maybe 25 cents. So a lot of my books are $4.99. So I believe I get, I want to say $3.74, I think, on the e-books. Now, if your book is under $2.99 or over $9.99, you get 30%. And a lot of authors will price their books at 99 cents, even though they don't get as much money, because it's a way to introduce readers to your book, or better yet, you offer it for free, although it's harder to get noticed even with a free book nowadays because there's so many books out there, but that is something you can do. And we could talk a little bit about marketing if you want to as well. And also Kindle Unlimited, which I don't know if you're all familiar with that, but yes, Kindle Unlimited through Amazon. As a reader, I subscribe to it because then I can read as many books as I want that are in the Kindle Unlimited program. And as a writer, you get a piece of the pie of the money collected. It's not very much. It's like 0.0042 cents per page read. So it depends how many pages your book is, and they determine how many pages it is based on the word count. So it's not going to be, well, you know, when I created the print version, it's 300 pages. It's like what they decide. So, but that's a really good way also to start off, because readers will take a chance on a KU book because they didn't pay anything extra for it. And some people, if they love a book, they'll buy it as well as borrow it through KU. And there's other publishers as well. I mean, when I started, KU wasn't a thing. So I had my books on Apple and Barnes & Noble and Google. And some people do put their books on all those sites and Kobo, and it's called Being Wide. Because if your books are in Kindle Unlimited, you can only have them on Amazon, and it's a 90-day block of time that you're committed. And once that 90 days are over, you can continue re-enrolling in KU. It will do automatically unless you uncheck a box, and then you can not be in it anymore if you don't want to. So you have a little bit of flexibility there. But those are the main places that people will publish their e-books.
Okay, our next hand, Nellie Emerson.
Hi, thank you for being here with us today. You partially have answered my question. I am very interested in reading your books, and I need to hear them in audible fashion. So are they then available through Kindle as ebooks?
So my books are available. They're all available on Amazon. I have one series I briefly took out, my Falling for You series, or Searching for Love series. It's a shorter romance series, but I'll explain why in a minute because that's related to audio. But yeah, they're all available. Ebooks are all available as print, but there's, you know, you can have, okay. So some of my books are available as audiobooks. All the books that are in audio are available on my YouTube channel, Christine Kersey Books. My pandemic series was narrated by a professional narrator. I narrated some of them. And then I had a few narrated full cast audio with AI, which I think sounds pretty good. That's just my opinion. Some people hate it. Some people like it. Whatever. That's what I chose to do. The ones that are not AI, the ones that I narrated or had, the ones that are human narrated are available on Audible as well as Spotify and the library because I put them, yeah, so they should be available through the library as well. But I would say go to my YouTube channel and then they're free and they're just available instantly. You don't have to wait. I don't think there's a waiting list, but if there was, you wouldn't have to wait.
That sounds great. I'm interested in your post-apocalyptic books and dystopic books. And I want to hear about that. And I'm also a prospective writer.
Awesome.
So I'm interested in publishing tips.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the post-apocalyptic and the dystopian are all available as audiobooks. Also, I sell them on my website, ChristineKersey.com. But I would say, you know, go to YouTube.
Okay.
but as far as, I was going to mention that I don't know if you've heard of 11 Labs, but they have a new.
Yes.
Yes, they have a new product called 11 Reader. And that is, there's an app, and that's where you can listen to audiobooks on there that authors make available, and you can choose the voice. And that's why my one series I put over there to try it out, but I don't know if I can have it in Kindle Limited while it's there, so I took it out of KU. But so that one's there. But like that's a really good resource too for those who are visually impaired. You can also paste in a URL for a website and it'll read an article for you. And it's a newer product, so it's free right now. I think eventually it might charge for the audiobooks, but right now it's free. So that's something else to know about. As far as tips for publishing, even when I very first started doing the indie publishing thing, I told other writers, because I would go to writers' conferences and things, and if the topic came up, I would always say, encourage people to go the indie route, because I would say, what can a publisher do for you that you can't do for yourself that makes it that they should get a piece of your sales for however long the contract is? Because you can pay a one-time fee that's really reasonable for a book cover. You can hire an editor or just use beta readers or, you know, some way that you can make the book where you feel it's ready to be presented to the public, you know, to sell. And then you can upload it for free. Because generally I think a lot of publishers don't do marketing for writers. They have to do their own marketing. So regardless, you're going to have to do marketing, whether you do it or they, you know, whether you do it as an indie or do it as a traditionally published author. So I would encourage people to publish as an indie. The only difference might be if it's something that's like a children's book or something that might be harder to sell as an ebook, because that's going to be something you're going to want more of a physical book for parents to buy for their kids. That would be a case where you might want to go through a traditional publisher.
Okay, our next hand, David Jackson.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Christine. My question for you is, first of all, I want to let you know that I really like speculative fiction as well as science fiction, and part of that is dystopian. fiction. And because it's such an interesting genre, what I'd like to know is, how do you write and make your dystopian fiction different from other writers?
That's a good question. Well, the only dystopian series I did was about a parallel world where it's illegal to be overweight. So I would just say just the basic subject matter is different from other authors. I don't know that anyone else has done that particular take on a dystopian world. And it was a parallel world, so it had that science fiction element to it. But, you know, when you – any type of book you write, especially speculative fiction, there's that world building where you – you know, you have to create what's the government like, what's the world like. And I didn't get into that in a lot of depth. I mean, I have it where if someone breaks the rules, then they have to go to what's called a fat center, which stands for federally assisted thinning. And so you just have to, you just come up with unique world building aspects. I'm not a big fantasy reader. I know fantasy is quite popular and could be, these epic fantasies. That's pretty involved with the world building, which reminds me too, the question about research. One reason I don't do historical romance is because the amount of research it would take to be historically accurate would be overwhelming to me. And like, I'm more interested in making stuff up as I go along. And so all my stuff is contemporary. The world, that's the things that I know. But as far as making your stories different from others, I mean, if you read a lot of dystopian or speculative fiction, there's certain tropes that readers expect, right? Just like with romance, they expect a happily ever after. So there's certain tropes they're going to expect in different genres. But yeah, so it is tricky to make it stand out. I don't even really know the best way to answer that except coming up with a unique twist on, you know, things that maybe have been done before, but your own twist on it, your own take on it. Mashing together different things like a parallel world and this world where these crazy rules the government has that people have to follow or that type of thing. I don't know if that really answers your question, but that's the best I can come up with as I right now.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, our next question is from a telephone number with area code 970 ending in 874.
Hi, this is Catherine. I really appreciated your presentation today. I'm very much interested in your pandemic series. Can you tell me the name of it so I can look it up on YouTube? Thank you.
Yes. So, and if you go to Christine Kersey Books, all my audiobooks that I've done so far are on there. I think there's like 18 or something. But that particular series is just called Pandemic. And the first book is called Pandemic, The Beginning. The second one is Forced Exodus. The third one is No Safe Place. And the fourth one is called Insurrection. And the story begins taking place in Utah because that's where I live now. But I'm from California. I, just like Lynette, grew up in San Jose. And so my characters, I don't want to give it away. Some of the stories in California, the bulk of it is in Utah. But the funny thing is, after I wrote that book in 2019, in 2021, the narrator who ended up doing the audiobook reached out to me and he said, hey, I read your story and I do narration for post-apocalyptic stories and I think it would be a good fit for me to narrate your books. And so I kind of checked out other books he had done and I agreed and I had him do it. And when he finished, as I was listening to it to make sure there weren't any errors, I hadn't reread the story in, you know, several years, and it was kind of funny because I never used the word social distancing because I'd never heard that phrase before until COVID, which my books were all out before then. And talking about, you know, face masks, I talked about face masks, but I sometimes call them ear loop masks because like face masks wasn't a commonly used name prior to COVID. I don't, for me at least. But the people did go to Costco and they did stock up on toilet paper and water. So that's, you know, got that right. So it was pretty funny to listen to that after experiencing something so similar.
Oh, wonderful. Can you tell me the first title, please? I'm outside, around some other people and I, you know,
sure. The first one is called Pandemic, The Beginning.
The Beginning. Okay. Yes. I'm going to go do that. I love reading books on my phone, and I have an Android phone. It's called a Blind Shell, and I read most of my books on it, which also includes Audible. So
nice. Perfect. Yeah, I just uploaded those to Audible the other day, so they may not be live yet. Because I had taken them off.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
perfect.
I had taken them off to put them on YouTube, and then I just recently thought, well, it should be fine to have them both. Like, YouTube shouldn't care if they're both places, because I've been on YouTube for a couple of years now. So I just, yeah, those, but they should be live soon. But, yeah, that one's fun because it has a professional narrator.
Oh, wonderful. And I can also listen to them on the YouTube channel on my phone also. Yes. And it's wonderful. Thank you so much for a nice presentation.
You're welcome.
I look forward to reading your books.
Well, thank you. And I can recommend a couple. There's a lot of authors that I know that have that. One thing on YouTube is sometimes there's pirating, of course, but like there's Kyra, K-Y-R-A, Stone. She writes post-apocalyptic, and she's been putting her audiobooks on YouTube. And she's just a really good writer. And then there's just some different clean romance authors I know of. So I can give people suggestions if they like, if they need more people. Because, like, there's so many books out there, just not enough time, you know, to listen to them all.
Okay, our next hand is Jolena Foster.
Thank you very much. And Christine, first of all, I am a big fan of yours. I love your books.
I also
follow you on YouTube, thanks to your sister-in-law, Lynette. So that's one of the things you kind of touched on somebody had asked you about was the marketing is, you know, how tedious, I guess, is when, you know, marketing your books. Where do you start? How do you get going? And I guess you are your own manager, book manager. Am I correct on that?
Yes, I'm a one-woman show.
Well, that's the only way to be, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a control freak, let's be honest. But as far as marketing, it's changed so much over the years. That's what's so crazy. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like back in the day, like in 2011, 2012, I made one of my books, maybe it was like 2011, I made one of my books free, and it shot like number three in the free list on Amazon without me doing anything. Now you can hardly give books away because there's so many. So what a lot of authors do, first of all, I would say before you spend any money on marketing, and a lot of the times Facebook ads are a good way to go, is you want to have more than one book, because if somebody buys that first book and they read it, they're going to want the next one. So you want to have at least a couple of books before you start spending any money trying to promote one of your books. But right now I'm not doing any marketing. I had like a 2-year gap with my writing. And so, like I said, I had a book that came out in November, and I just finished the next book 6 in my EMP Collapse series. And I'm going to do some editing and get that up soon. So, with YouTube particularly, it's great because they have their algorithm. So if you have books and you create them as audiobooks, their algorithm will suggest your audiobooks or your videos to people who like that kind of thing. So the algorithm kind of works for you that way. But people, like authors TikTok is a big, I don't do TikTok, but a lot of authors, especially who write steamy romance, do really well on TikTok, where they have, I don't even go on there. So they have like really brief things about their books. And then they have TikTok shops where they will sell the print version, and sometimes they'll do like special editions. I haven't gotten into all of that. That's just like, there's so many things. It could be overwhelming for sure. But as far as ebooks, I would say Facebook is a good place to advertise. And there are different, resources that are free that there's courses you can pay for, and there's resources that are free that you can learn how to do Facebook ads. And it seems like they're ever changing, so I couldn't even tell you the best way to do it right now. But Facebook ads is a good way to get your books in front of people. And people also do ads on Amazon where, you know, if you go on an Amazon page, there'll be suggestions or things that are like what you're interested in. And people pay for to be in those slots. And I haven't done that in many, many years because I would need to relearn how to do it so that I'm not just wasting money. So, but I would, number one, you want to have at least a couple of books completed before you spend money on advertising, I would say. And, you know, you can also swap newsletters with authors. So if you begin, if you have a book that you publish, one of the first things that you would want to do is to create a newsletter. So like through MailChimp or MailerLite, it's usually free for the first like 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers. And, you want to have at the end of your book a place where people can join your newsletter so they can learn about when the next book's available. And so you gradually build your newsletter. And there are places, there's Facebook groups where you can swap newsletters with people so that your book can be in front of new readers and their book can be in front of your readers, that type of thing. So there's there's a few different ways. And there's a Facebook group called 20 Books to 50K, and that I would recommend joining. And that if I'm not sure if you guys are on Facebook, but it's a good resource because there's like 20,000 people that belong to that group, and you can search on, do a search on a word like marketing and just kind of see what posts come up and see what people have talked about in the past. It's a really good resource. And the idea between 20 books to 50K is that if you have 20 books that you can make $50,000 a year, that maybe used to be true. I don't know that that's true now, but that was the idea behind the name. But it's a good resource for questions. Does that kind of answer?
Yeah. Yeah. I love to write, and you know, sometimes it just kind of comes up and I've kind of been thinking about it and it's just like, but yeah, that kind of gives me an idea of some things. I love Kindle Unlimited and I love YouTube. I've read a lot of your books. I know I've read at least 2, maybe 3 of the Pandemic series on YouTube. So yes. Definitely great. Has given me, and I'm definitely taking your, you know, series and your advice and stuff to heart. So I've just got some things. One more question. How many hours or whatever a day do you write? Just whenever, how many hours a day do you write? Just whenever you feel like that you want to?
I have to push myself to do it even if I don't feel like it.
I understand that.
It's great when I get to a part of the story that I'm really excited about writing, then it can just flow. I'd say, you know, a few hours a day. You know, I'm getting older and I'm just, it's hard to, like, 8 hours. I can't do 8 hours a day. Some people do that and I just, like, my brain would get fried. So it's more like I try to reach a word count, maybe 2,000 words a day that I write. It's more than the time. Sometimes I can do it quicker than other times. And sometimes I don't reach that goal, and that's okay. Sometimes 1,000 words. Sometimes when I was having a bit of a dry spell, I'm like, if I could do 200 words today, hey, at least I did something. You know, every day adds up. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I really enjoy your books.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next hand is a telephone number, area code 951, ending with 342.
Hi, Christine. I never read any of your books. It sounds, I'm going to start now. So I have all the different, you know, I can go with Audible, Bard, Bookshare, everything. But what was the app you mentioned that for somehow I neglected to write it down? Thank you.
Yes.
The app you mentioned.
Yes, it's 11 Reader.
11, E-L-E-V-E-N?
Yes, so spell out the word.
The spelling of the word.
Yeah, spell out 11. 11 Reader, 11 spelled out. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, our next person is Cindy Gilliams.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry, I just got excited when he called my name. First of all, I want to say that I love your books. I started reading the EMP books, and I'm looking forward to reading all the other ones. I listened on YouTube, and one of the first things that caught my attention was how well you read. So I just wanted to compliment you on that.
Well, thank you.
You do a very good job. And,
thank you.
So I just wanted to ask, what was your inspiration, your thought process with the EMP collab, the books for that series?
Yeah. Like I said, I just love the post-apocalyptic series. I think it's because the idea of just trying to survive day to day is, you know, we're so caught up in the world, you know, doing social media and just all the things that we have going on. Sometimes it's like, what if that all fell away and all we had was, you know, surviving? Of course, my characters, they say you should really torture your characters and really make life tough for them, but it's hard for me to make it too tough. So they usually have what they need, you know, and it's funny because some people tell me my post-apocalyptic stories are mild post-apocalyptic. It's like, that's okay. Like too much emotion or something. It's like, or somebody commented, I can tell this was written by a woman. I replied, yes, it was.
I actually like that they're mild because there was a, if anybody knows about the All Dead series, that one is very graphic and I got excited once because you could get the 12 book bundle on Audible. So I snatched it up and I only made it through, I think, two or three books before I was just too graphic for me. And, you know, so when there's a bit of trepidation when I start a post-apocalyptic book, but when I started these, I just thought, oh, these are safe, you know, yeah. Like they're safe reads and they're realistic, you know, yeah. And I like that they are, modern, mm-hmm. you know, where she couldn't get the cell phone and the cars didn't work. And, I just, you know, I really liked that. So I like that they're mild.
Well, good. Thank you.
I was, really excited when you're starting to put your books on Audible. Mm-hmm. You can ask Lynette. I actually, when I found your, first EMP book up there, I texted her, Lynette, she's on Audible. She's on Audible. And I was so excited. I'm in various book groups on WhatsApp and such, and I message everybody about your books. And, so I just wanted to come in here and, say that, you know, your books are fantastic and I like what, you know, it's good what you do and all that stuff. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Now, unfortunately, the book 5 and book 6 won't be on Audible because I used AI for 5 and I'm going to use it for 6 and they won't allow AI books.
To oh, right.
So oh, those won't, okay. But they'll be on YouTube.
So right. You know, and I recommend for anyone who can afford it, get YouTube Premium to read your books because there's no ads. Exactly. And you can just go through and it'll remember your place. So if you just make sure you save the book to your library and it'll remember your place and you can speed it up the reading speed if you want to do that as well, which, some people like to do. So, I recommend the YouTube audio books and definitely without the ads. That's my favorite way to read them.
Exactly. I'm the same. So I go on YouTube a lot. I like to listen to watch some vloggers I hate ads.
I actually had to convince my husband, let's just sign up for it because we are on YouTube a lot.
So. Well, and you get music too. Like you can have the part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what we do too.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And also I was going to say with the EMP books or post-apocalyptic stories, I like to focus on a family. Like I don't like ones where it talks about, you know, those jump over to some government entity and all these things. I like it to focus on a small group and you stay with that group through the whole story and you really fall in love with that group and just you're so invested in what happens to them. That's what I really like. In fact, this series will be at least 7 books, maybe 8 because it might be too hard to say goodbye to them. EMP, I just love the post-apocalyptic genre. And again, I was, after I did a pandemic, it's like, well, what's another type of thing that could happen? Well, an EMP could happen. And that would be horrifying. I mean, there's so many things that would be really horrifying. And so when I'm writing the story, I can control the outcome a little more. So that's, you know, than I would in a real life. So that's kind of nice too with writing is sometimes the characters want to do their own thing, but you can, you have, you know, you do have some control over how the story goes. So
Well, what's nice is you make it's horrifying, but the way that it's written is you sort of bring it in a little gently. It's not like, boom, you're thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
Like some of these books, you know, it's devastating, but you kind of, oh, I didn't think about how we're going to get food and how are we going to keep warm and how are we going to keep mm-hmm. the neighborhood guarded and, you know, all these little problems that arise up that, you know, that we take for granted around here, the police officers and the ambulances and all the things. And
yes,
so that's
water and
yeah, I mean, the sanitation and things like that. I mean, that's what I liked about. I liked it was different than just throwing you in like that other series did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say now, but yeah, it's fun to just imagine. Well, not fun. It's interesting to imagine what life would be like in those situations. And oh, I know I was going to say is when I wrote the pandemics, because I had written the pandemic series in January of 2020, and I kind of like to watch the news. I saw things happening in China that they were locking people down and things I've never heard of before and talking about this virus. And I'm like, so I don't know. So I figured out or understood that things might be a little different than a regular flu. And so before things shut down here, I was able to kind of stock up on some things before things were crazy because I could kind of see the writing on the wall. So that, you know, it's helpful to just be aware of what's going on in the world and just what would be something it would be a good idea to stock up on. I've had readers say, hey, because I read that, I stocked up on things I maybe wouldn't have. And so they were a little better prepared for when maybe the store's shelves were empty of some items. So it's a post-apocalyptic can be a useful topic for sure.
Okay. Our next hand is from Patty. Hey, Patty, you are unmuted.
Okay.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just curious. Have you written all of your life? Like, were you real young when you started writing stories?
Well, you know, I remember being a really young teenager, like 13, and starting to write a story about some kids on vacation, similar to the vacation I was on. And I got like 2 pages into it. And I just couldn't figure out what could happen next, and so I kind of put it aside. So I haven't been, so I really didn't start writing until I was in my mid-30s or early 30s, but I've always loved to read. In fact, like I said, the first place I went when I got my driver's license at 16 was to the library because I love books. I love stories, and it kind of would drive my mom crazy because when I was in high school, I would just want to, during summer vacation, I would just want to stay home and read, and she's like, well, you should go out and socialize. I'm like, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to be around people. I want to read. So I've always loved reading. And I think, you know, if you want to write, it's helpful to read a lot in the genre you're interested in so that you understand the tropes that people expect. And it's especially useful to read best-selling books in the genre you're interested in writing in to see what it is, you know, to try to understand what it is that's making it so popular so that you can, you know, use not copy them, but like just understand the tropes and the pacing and kind of what's making them popular. What is it about the people love? And one way to do that as well is if you read the reviews on popular books to see what people are saying about those books, you know, what it is they like about them and what they don't like. So.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Hey, we don't have any hand raised.
Wait, I have a question. My raised hand wasn't working.
Okay, you're on.
This is Darren. First of all, Chris, oh, I can't believe I'm talking to you. It's wonderful to be talking with you.
Well, thank you.
Before I forget, there are a couple other options for Audible books. If you have an Amazon Music subscription, you get one free Audible book with that each month. Great. And then on TuneIn Premium, you also have Audible books with that subscription.
Okay.
And I have two questions. One, do you put some of yourself into some of your characters? That's my first question. And my second question is about writer's block. How often do you deal with that, and what do you do to get over it?
With the first question, yes. I definitely put myself, it's like, what would I do? You know, in fact, sometimes I feel like my characters aren't different enough because, I don't know, you write what you know, and so maybe I'll base it on somebody. I'll picture someone I know in real life and base the character on kind of some of their characteristics. But you can't help but put yourself, hopefully the good parts of the characters. As far as the audiobooks, there's so many resources out there. It's just more and more all the time, which is wonderful. What was the second question I heard? Writer's block.
Yeah.
I already forgot.
Do you get that often? And if so, how do you deal with that? How do you get past it?
You know, I know that I haven't really dealt with writer's block too much. And, you know, it's so interesting because some people they have to plot it all out, which really would help prevent writer's block, I would think, but I can't plot it out. And so sometimes it's difficult because I don't know what's going to happen next. And a question you can ask yourself, instead of what happens next, you can ask yourself, what can go wrong? And that that can kind of get the juices flowing. It's like, oh, well, with what's happening right now, I can think of like 5 things that can go wrong. And, you know, that can get you off and running. But a lot of times it's just a matter of sitting down. And, you know, honestly, even after writing 51 books now, I can still feel anxiety when it's time to sit down and write, to have that blank page in front of me. Like, am I going to be able to come up with anything? So it's like, I don't know that you could ever get over that. But, asking yourself what can go wrong is a really good kind of jumping off point to get the juices flowing in a story. And some writers, they think about the characters and they'll come up with a character and they'll flesh out their character and then base the story on that character and what kind of naturally happens to that character. I'm more of a plotter where I'll come up with an idea like, you know, what I was talking about where the husband's missing. She's making the bed, and as she's lifting the mattress up to make the bed, she finds a bunch of cash under there. And then her husband, actually, the way I usually phrase it is she's making the bed, finds some money under the mattress, and then her husband doesn't come home, disappears. She doesn't know where he is. Then you can come up with all kinds of scenarios that would cause that. So, yeah, that was if you feel like you have writer's block, I would suggest asking that question, you know. And if you're just trying to get started in general, you can look and see what books are popular in your genre on Amazon and just read what the blurb is, what they're about, and see if that sparks ideas for you. Where, you know, you just, because a lot of, there's honestly no 100% original ideas anymore. There's just not. But there's all kinds of twists that you can do. And with your own voice and your own emotion you put into it, it makes it different. And so, but yeah, ask yourself what can go wrong.
Well, I appreciate you sacrificing some of your personal time to spend with us. So thank you.
Well, I'm happy to. Thank you for coming.
It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay, Pam has her hand up.
Yay, I raised my hand. I found it. I have a question, and this is who is your favorite author?
I like popular fiction. Like, I'm not one to read like classic fiction or literary fiction. I like page turners. Lately, there's Freida McFadden. Have you heard of her? She's been popular lately.
Everybody,
I know, right? So I've read some of her things. What's his name? Ryan, I can't think of his name. I read a lot of post-apocalyptic. Like I said, Kyla Stone, she's a great writer. Back in the day, I read a lot of John Grisham and Michael Crichton and that type of thing. So a lot of the thrillers, suspense, the popular fiction are the ones I like. And I used to read Mary Higgins Clark when I was younger all the time. That was a fun one. I don't know if she's really been putting anything out lately, but I used to read those all the time when I was younger.
Okay. Yeah. Mine is Nora Roberts, but
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she writes, you know, she has her pen name. Yeah.
J.D. Robb. Okay, I can't say that on this because I'm talking to another author. But
no, 100%. Yeah, we all love to read.
Amy Robb is my favorite author.
She's like, it's mysteries, right?
Yeah, futuristic mystery. Yeah, and it's just, she's my favorite. I've read your books, and I like them because they're clean.
Mm-hmm.
Because every so often I want to read something that, okay, I don't care about all that today. Can we
right.
So I get into that, and then and it's a little bit of everything, but I have been, I remember picking up my first book when I was probably 4 or 5.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I love books, so.
Yeah. Well, my understanding with Nora Roberts is the reason she did a pen name is because she wrote so prolifically that her publisher couldn't keep up with her, and so she created this other pen name. But there are also different genres, and some authors will do a separate pen name for each genre that they write. Yeah. I decided not to do that because I just don't write fast enough to keep pen names going.
The J.D. Robb series has 2 books a year. And
wow.
He has another one, a new romantic suspense coming out on the 27th of this month. So, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Some authors. Yeah. I think there's a few who, like.
And I've read Kyla Stone. And
okay. Yeah. She's a great writer. She's a really great writer. And there's no, I feel like, I mean, hers are suspenseful, but there's nothing, like, they're like mine where they're not over the top, the ones I've read. So, yeah, I recommend her. But, yeah, some authors, they write enough where they can support multiple pen names. But, like, for me, all my books are clean, and all of them, I mean, some of my romances are more just romance, but some have suspense. But suspense is, like, you know, the theme through all the different genres. And so I decided to just do one, just me. yeah.
Hey, we don't have any hands up at the moment.
No. Okay.
So if you've been waiting for a chance, now's the time.
Got about, 15 minutes?
Yes, uh-huh.
About 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been fun because, you know, we have so many sources and so many places. I have TuneIn Premium and YouTube Premium, so because I got tired of ads on YouTube.
Yep. Yeah, definitely worth it on there. If you spend much time on there at all. And on, really, if you listen to a lot of audiobooks, it pays for itself, you know, then versus having to buy them. So yeah, it's definitely worth it. But I think it's a newer thing with Spotify that they offer, if you have Spotify Premium, like 15 to 20 hours a month of free audiobooks. So, which is great.
Okay, Connie Bateman has her hand up.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you explain to me, you probably already said it, but what is dystopian fiction again?
Okay, that's a good question, because there's a difference between dystopian and post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it. So I would say post-apocalyptic is the world that we know with some catastrophe happening. Dystopian is like a completely different world with a different kind of government. And a lot of dystopian stories, it comes down to the government being tyrannical for in whatever way they are. If you think about Hunger Games, for example, that's dystopian. That's not post-apocalyptic because it's about the dystopian world. Does that kind of help clarify a little bit?
It does. And do those stories tend to be futuristic?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose there could be one that's from the past. But I would say they're typically futuristic because it's not the world we know. It's usually not a world we've ever known.
And do you sometimes base it on, like, the direction that things are going right now?
Yeah, because my Parallel World series, the dystopian one, the one that gave me the idea was in New York. They were talking about outlawing or limiting the size of sodas that people could buy.
Wow.
You know, that's what kind of sparked the idea. Like, well, what if, like, you couldn't be overweight? Like, that would be, like, if it was against the law, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be horrifying. And especially because I love, like, chocolate chip cookies. And so in my story, likes to make chocolate chip cookies.
That would put a lot of us out of business, right?
I know. And if it's like she has to get sugar, it's like a black market thing to get sugar. And
wow.
Yeah. So
okay.
So that's a different one.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, no hand raises, so now's the time if you have a question.
And I'm trying to think of any other publishing-related questions people might be interested in, because
And Pam, we have about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
If you want to?
I have one question.
Great.
Okay, wonderful.
Have you read the Red Rising series?
Who's the author?
Pierce Brown?
No, I haven't. Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yes, Red Rising. That's the title of the series, and that's the title of the first book.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of things like that, One Second After is a really popular one about EMPs. Maybe all of you have heard of that because it's more well known. One Second After, and then you did a follow up called, there's like a 1 year after, there might be like a 1 minute after, I forget, but that's a good EMP series. I can't think of the author's name off the top of my head, but yeah, that's a good one I'd recommend.
Hi, this is Leslie.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure that your name, how is it spelt? Is it typical Christine?
With a C-H.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what was the first book you said you did with the independent?
The very first book I wrote was called Suspicions. I wrote that in 1997 about a boy who's kidnapped. And the character who is from her point of view, it's her husband who's been suspected of kidnapping him. And she has her own suspicions, she's kind of sleuthing on her own, but it's a suspense story.
Okay.
That's Suspicions, yeah.
And then was there another one?
No Way Out one where the husband's missing and the woman find some money, not under the mattress though, but somewhere else.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And and just to tell you some of my other stories, because we've been talking more about the suspense and things. I have a number of romance stories. There's a romantic suspense story series called Over You. There's two books in that and then a third book in it that follows up. That's part of another series. There's like a small town romance series called Emerald Falls Romance. One of my more popular series on YouTube for my audiobooks, because I don't have all of them up yet, but it's called, they're standalone billionaire romances. And the series is Billionaires Find Love is the name of the series. And there's four books in the series. They're not, that you can read them, they're standalone. Like maybe some of the characters make an appearance in another one of the books, but they're basically standalone. And the most popular one is The Secret Billionaire, because I love the idea of this man and woman meeting. She has, and I don't know why the man always has to be the billionaire, but he is. And she has no idea he's a billionaire, and they fall in love, and she thinks he's a chef in this case. They fall in love, and then, you know, later on discovers he's a billionaire. I mean, it's like a Cinderella story in a way, right? So that one's fun. I have a two book series, Never Kiss Your Bodyguard and Never Kiss Your Fake Fiancé. There's a six book series of football romances that are standalone where the characters may make appearances, the Fair Catch series. And if you go into my website, ChristineKersey.com, you can see all the series on there. And there's links to Amazon and that type of thing. But the football one, there's six books in it. And like I said, they're standalone. And there's a couple in there that have a lot more suspense. There's one that's a girl, you know, she crushed on this boy, her friend, her brother's friend. And then he becomes a professional football player and, you know, things happen. But they're all very clean. Clean and Wholesome is the category on Amazon. I love Yellowstone National Park. And so I have a couple stories that take place in Yellowstone National Park. One of them is Game On, which is one of the books in the Fair Catch series where this football player, his family keeps bugging him about having a girlfriend. So he runs into this woman who's walking her dog and she needs some money, and he hires her to pretend to be his girlfriend to go on this family camping trip to Yellowstone. And so they're in Yellowstone, but they're also, it's a fake, you know, fake relationship romance. Those are kind of fun. I have a couple of the ones that are like fake romance. So And then I have a series. One of my earlier series I wrote is called Lily's Story. It's a 4-book series that's about one character. All 4 books are about her, so you want to read those in order. She's a college student. She gets involved with this guy, and he turns out to be not such a great guy. And so the first book, it's kind of suspense with romance, or romance with suspense. I wouldn't just say it's a romance, because things don't end well. And then the second book, I don't want to give anything away, but it's more suspenseful. The third book is more straight romance, and the fourth book is more women's fiction. But it's kind of her story. And that one was quite popular when it first came out in like 2010, 2011. So those are some of my series. But just if you're interested, you can go to ChristineKirstie.com and you can see what books I have. All the series are on there. You can check those out. So, and some of my books that are audiobooks are all available to purchase on my website. I need to change it though, because I have it where if you purchase the audiobook, I don't have you download the MP3 files, and I should change that. I have it where you have to listen to it on this particular app called BookFunnel. But I should probably change that, because I think people would rather own the files. So you can always reach out to me if you're interested in doing, if you want to buy them from me and you want to own the file, I can turn that on for you.
Okay, Christine, it is now what, I just asked my clock and totally
forgot. 5:11, yes.
Thank you.
I know, it's been wonderful. It's been really fun talking to everybody. I just
wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. For coming
and participating and answering everybody's questions. And you can tell we all love books.
Yes, yes.
One of our favorite things. So, yes. I want to thank you and thank Lynette for asking you for us, because I begged her.
I'm happy to have done it. It was really fun.
Do it. And I just wanted you to know that there are a lot of blind and visually impaired people out there that do read and love your books.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so glad the technology gives so many people more access. It's wonderful.
And I want to thank everybody for attending this afternoon. I really do appreciate it. And so does Kahlua. And we will be holding a in June, and I will give you the date and time when we get there. So, again, I want to thank everybody for participating, and thank you, Christine, again. Thanks to you, Lynette.
And, hey, Pam.
Yes.
I have one more thing for Christine. Red
yes,
Rising.
Darren.
Red Rising is on the Audible Plus catalog.
Okay, great. I'll check right. it out.
Okay.
Oh, he must have looked that up real quick. Yes, he did.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
So thank you again, Christine. It is now, because we
right.
have another group coming in right after.
I will jump off. Thank you so much. Right.
Thank you again, everybody. And Phil, thank you for hosting.
You are so welcome. Glad to do it.